All right, let's take our book of Hosea, and we're in chapter 5, we're almost at the end of it, chapter 5, and we stopped at verse number 11 last time, in fact, we're actually verse 10, so we'll start with verse 11. So Hosea 5, let's read 11, 12, and 13 together, starting at verse 11. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked after the commandments. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian, and said to the king Jareb, that he would not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. Verse 11, Ephraim oppressed, and broken in judgment. What would that mean to be oppressed? We talk about oppression. What would oppression be?
Pushed down.
Pushed down, right? Pressed down. That's good. Oppressed. Pressed down and difficulty. Broken in judgment. And willing to walk after the commandment. Now, it's a sort of a difficult thing to understand. It may have been a commandment of something other than the Lord's commandments. If he walked after the commandment of the Lord's commandment, why would he be oppressed? It could be some other commandment that the... Well, sometimes, yes, and sometimes when you follow the Lord and the world doesn't like it, then they oppress you. That could be. So either a commandment is foreign and you walked after willingly, or the Lord's commandment is still got oppression and broken judgment. So in verse 12, the conclusion of this, because of this, therefore, what's the like of Ephraim and Judah? First, who would Ephraim be referred to?
The Israel.
The ten tribes usually, and Judah, of course, would be, how many tribes in there?
Two.
We learned this morning, read this morning, about Joseph and his children. What were the names of his children?
Ephraim and Manasseh.
Ephraim and Manasseh, that's right. Manasseh was a smaller tribe, and Ephraim was a large tribe.
And
so
he
was the firstborn. And but Ephraim was the larger in numbers, I should say. So it's oppressed, broken in judgment. Ephraim as a moth. Yes, Satan. Ephraim's up here, I should say. Benjamin is here. Ephraim is here. That's where Ephraim is.
How are we going to find this?
Let's see.
If you open this up,
Open this up?
All the way, and it's the second one from the right.
Okay, second one from the right. Where it says Holy Land, 1020 BC,
yes,
900 BC.
Yes, 1020 BC.
Okay.
And then it says Divided Kingdom and United Kingdom.
All right.
Which one are we on now?
All right, so there's Judah, there's Israel at the top of the north. All right, anything else on that? All right, so...
Now that we found it, what did we find?
Well... down here, apparently. And Judah, see, Simeon apparently is divided up there.
I thought that was showing that we... the map to show them like inside children?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, this is where this map is down here in the south.
What's, you know,
Simeon?
So that would mean that it would have been part of the sun. Whatever they say, but it's never mentioned that way.
No, it's always, always in the north, yeah. So maybe they were considered to be northerners.
Well, there was a scripture that said that their possession in the book of Joshua, their possession would be in the midst of Judah.
Right, that's the fulfillment of prophecy.
But why is it we never hear of them ever being in the south?
That's a good question. I'm not really clear on that. But apparently that's the location of it that was given. And the other tribes, most of the other tribes are up north. So it is where it is.
Okay.
And so the ten tribes, maybe the Assyrians swooped down and picked up Simeon as well and took him over to Assyria, as well as the other tribes of the nine.
What?
Yes, Ma?
I have an off thing, too.
All right,
I was greatly blessed this morning with Joseph's sons, Moses, Manasseh, and Ephraim.
Mm-hmm.
And Manasseh, he named them after him for God, so that he would forget the hard things that happened to him and forget the things that happened at home. Forget that. And I was challenged by that. Try to forget.
Forget the past. That's false.
Hard to forget.
Hard to forget.
And Joseph,
Ephraim means double portion.
Double portion.
But I was interested in the one that meant to forget.
But the Lord has caused me to forget all the travail.
Yeah,
that's right.
That was the oldest
one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so in verse 13, Ephraim, in verse 12, rather, I will be in Ephraim as a moth, the house of Israel as a rattler. What would a moth's life be like?
Eating your clothes.
Anybody eat your moth that eats your clothes, that's true. Would it be permanent or temporary or short-lived?
Short life,
and would it be powerful or weak?
It goes into lights. Moths go after
yes,
light.
It likes to look at the lights or something. And Judah has remnants because they have forsaken the Lord. And then in verse 13, Ephraim saw his sickness, Judah's wound. And what did Ephraim do?
They ate away Judah.
They what?
Ephraim's like a moth, and moths eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in verse 13, what happened?
But Ephraim isn't a moth. Is he?
Yeah, Ephraim is a moth in verse 13.
No, God,
or 12.
God's
going
to be to him like
he,
him.
Yeah. Yeah, God will be as a moth, yeah.
God's going to be to as a moth.
God's a moth?
Okay.
As a moth, okay. Yes. So God will be as a moth.
Oh, yeah, he's a moth. God's a moth. So
yes.
Must be okay to be a moth.
So what did Ephraim do when they were in trouble and problems?
They went to
the Assyrians. Who were they? What kingdom were the Assyrians?
Assyrians.
Assyrians. Where did they smell this map?
Way up the north.
Way up the north. Asher or Assyria. And where did the ten tribes get taken away?
Assyrian captivity.
To Assyria. And so they probably fraternized a little bit and talked a little bit, and then pretty soon they were the ones that came down and swooped them up in about what year?
700.
About 700, roughly 700 B.C. About 100 years before Judah, about 600 B.C. So they went to Assyrian, sent Kedar, and he could not yet heal you or cure you of your wound. Others apparently wanted some assistance, just like Israel many times went to Egypt. Did God want his people to go to Egypt for help? No, don't lean upon them. See, that's a wicked country.
But they did get help there.
What was that?
They got help there.
Sometimes they did, sometimes the help didn't turn out too well.
Right.
That's right. So they probably want a little help from Assyria, and then now in verse 14, God is changing his attitude toward Ephraim into what now? A moth?
A lion.
Excuse me,
maybe the moth meant like a pest.
Well, it could be. It's something flying around and not really made to it. But what about being as under a lion? What would that be? Ferocious and troublesome. And Judah is going to be like what?
A young lion.
He's going to be as them as a young lion. Would be as strong, would be as experienced, but the Lord's going to deal with him. And
that's how he's going to be to Judah.
To Judah, right.
He is depicted as the Lion of Judah.
That's right, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's one of the names of Judah, isn't it?
But so God's not the name of Judah.
What is it?
He said that the Lion of the tribe of Judah was Judah.
Well, no, that's a phrase in the scripture.
But it's one of the names of Christ, not one of the names of Judah.
Well, that's true. But he is called, in the book of Genesis, I believe, in the last part, you'd be like raving like a lion, is that right? Look at chapter 50 of Genesis and see where the father blessed all these sons before he died. Take a look at that. Is it 50? 49? Okay. What did he say about Judah? A lion's whelp?
Oh, yeah. Judah is a lion's whelp.
They shall come. He that ruleth Israel, right?
Yeah.
Shall be the ruler.
Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up?
And what verse is that?
8 and 9.
8 and 9, okay.
And the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a bar give up from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be.
What chapter are you in? 49. 49, okay. 49, 10. All right, so that's, he was called, the lion was preferred to Judah, and certainly the lion of the tribe of Judah, of course, would be the Lord. Himself is another name. And what does the word Judah mean?
Praise.
Praise. That's right. And that's why her mother named him is Praise. I will praise you. So Judah is going to be as a young lion. The Lord's going to be as a young lion to Ephraim, a lion. And what's he going to do in verse 14 to these two? In verse 14.
Tear.
Tear. Or so on. It's like lions do. And then go away, just leave him torn up. Yes.
Not only rescue.
Okay.
Back in verse 13, that they were calling for help from the Assyrian.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Asa did. He went to the Assyrians and they asked them to break their treaty with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was having conflict with Israel, and so he was depending, and the prophet came to him and told him that, you know, you didn't depend on the Lord, you were depending upon the king of Syria. And then when the doctors said he had this disease in his feet, this was all in the end of his life, he called for the physicians, and he trusted in them rather than trusting in the Lord. So, I mean, even though throughout his whole life, from the beginning, he was trusting the Lord. Toward the end of his life, he started trusting other. You know, he trusted the Syrians, and he was trusting the physicians, and he wasn't trusting the Lord any longer.
Mm-hmm. One of the kings, or whether it was Asa or another one, hired a number of the enemies to fight. I guess it was against Israel, the southern kingdom, fighting against the north kingdom. And God says, "I don't want anything to do with these people. They're heathen people." And the king said, "Well, what am I going to do for the extra thousands and thousands of dollars?" And he said, "Well, I'm able to give them much more than this." So they fired these people, these soldiers they paid for. And as the soldier they paid for went back home, they tore up a lot of houses and they were angry and went back home. But lots of judgment from the Lord, trusting in people instead of in Him. Remember, it says in the Psalms, does it not? On the
understanding,
and also
Proverbs.
They have the horses. That's the chariot.
Some
dust and chariots and horses. But we will trust in the Lord our God. See? And so also, if the Lord doesn't keep the city,
the
watchman watcheth by the man. So the Lord's got to be the one in charge. Take care of it. All right. So he's going to tear them. Then he's going to go away. Just leave them bleeding. In verse 14. That's like a lion with him. That's like the prophet that disobeyed the Lord. And don't go to that man's house, don't stay there. And the prophet said, "Oh, the Lord told me to stay here." So the first prophet went there, and then as the first prophet left, the lion came in. Did that lion eat that prophet?
No.
No, he didn't. There he was. He saw him. The lion was standing over here. The prophet was dead. And so so sometimes a lion eats, and sometimes the lion doesn't. In this case, he didn't. Tear away, take away. None shall rescue him. Just leave him right there. And that was true in Assyrian captivity. Nobody could rescue him. 10 tribes went in there for an extended period of time. In fact, if indeed some of the northern 10 tribes came back in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and the Ezra and Nehemiah were both from the southern captivity in Babylon for 70 years, and I think if that came at the same time, they were 70 years plus another 100 years, so a lot of time was spent in Assyrian captivity. Some of those did come back under Ezra and Nehemiah, some of the northern tribes. That's what's denied by the British Israelites. They say the 10 tribes are lost. Now the white people, Anglo-Saxon people, are now Israel's. But that's not true. We believe they came back and Israel was restored. Then in verse number 15, what is God going to do?
Simply
return to his place. Return to his place. Until when?
Acknowledge their offenses.
Now that's sometimes harder than some other things, isn't it? To acknowledge our offense, their offense. And what else do they have to do before the Lord would come back?
Seek
my face. How do you go about that?
Pray.
Pray, that's right. Pray and read the Word of God and be honest and sincere before the Lord. Try to ask Him, Lord, what will I do? What shall I do? And then what will happen? And when will it happen? The last part of verse 15. And are in their affliction. Now the question is, do we have to wait for affliction before we seek the Lord?
No.
Many times in affliction we do seek the Lord, that's for sure. What is foxhole religion? What does that mean?
Does that mean when you get in trouble you go to the Lord, but you don't go any other time?
Yes, that's true. What is a foxhole, by the way? Some of you don't even know what a foxhole is.
Emergency. What is it? Maybe a plane crash.
Emergency. Made a plane crash like these people. Now, one thing, one of the news commentators said they, a lot of people say Hail Marys. Other ones said they prayed. I don't know whether the Hail Mary was a prayer or whatever, but several of them said they prayed as they were going down to this land. Pilate said, brace yourself or whatever. But a foxhole used to be, in old time operations, actually a hole you dig in there to protect yourself
in wartime.
And now, what's a foxhole? They could bomb it, they'd rent it, it doesn't help you. But in the olden wartime, when they just had tanks and Willie Peter, WP, white phosphorus, they call it Willie Peter or WP, it could be shot over there. And if you were in that foxhole, that white phosphorus would burn you to death. See, so you have to duck down. And the Maginot Lines, all this World War One, World War, a little bit, maybe World War Two, but World War One especially. But some of these fellows in foxholes said, Lord, I pray, get me out of this mess. If I get out of this mess, I will serve you. Thank you very much. And they get out, and many of them forgot all about the Lord. That's what's called foxhole religion. Some of them didn't, but some did. Just pray when you're in a tight place. Like these people that are in my affliction, they prayed and will see me early. All right, any other comments on chapter 5 before we move on to chapter 6? Well, let's go to chapter 6, and I call it God's cry for mercy, not sacrifice. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3 together. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up. We shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on, to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain upon the earth. So what is the urgency of Hosea to his people here in verse 1? What does he encourage them to do?
Return to the Lord.
Return to the Lord. If you return to the Lord, what does that imply?
Exactly.
You turned away. That's right. That you've gone back and return. Let us. Does he include himself?
Yeah.
Yes. Shouldn't we always include ourselves? See, there's none of us so high and so mighty and so close to the Lord, we can't include ourselves. Let's return, let's go. And these people were in serious shape, like a lion, like a young lion. And then, who was the one that tore them? That's an interesting thing, this lion that tore. Who's the one that tore them up?
The Lord.
The Lord himself. And what's the next phrase say?
He'll heal.
Now, the same one up. Usually, people that tear you up, do they usually heal you?
Mm-hmm.
No, if they don't want to tear you up, they let you go, see.
I guess doctors, they tear you up.
No, they should tear you up. They tear you up and hope to patch you up in good shape. The man that was fallen among the thieves, the Samaritan came to him and saw him, did those thieves who knocked them out and let them pour, did they go back and heal him? They had nothing to do with it. And the priest went by, the Levite went by, but the Samaritan took that man, took him back to the, put him on his beast, took him back to the inn, took care of whatever he owes you, I'll take care of him. See, that's what the Lord does for us. But the one that is torn, he will heal. He that's smitten, he will bind his son. Now, who would be the best binder of those that were smitten and the healer of those that were torn?
The
Lord himself. I mean, he knows all about how to do it. If he did the job, if he can restore what he's broken down. And it shows that God's grace is there. It shows that he's faithful to us if we come to him. And then in verse 2, there's a time mentioned here of what time for reviving?
2 days.
2 days. And what's going to happen the third day?
Raises
up, we're living inside. Now, whether that's 2 literal days or whatever it is, but there's a time frame for God's helping and healing and binding us up. As 2 days, and the third day he'll raise up completely. We'll be all right, as good as new. And then in verse 3,
from upstate.
Oh, upstate, yes. Rab,
maybe,
what you got?
Maybe Simeon lost his land, blessing too. In Deuteronomy 33, Simeon has no blessing because of his sin in Genesis 34. For taking vengeance on Hamor and Shechem for the humiliation of his sister, Dinah.
That's right, Simeon and Levi, instruments of cruelty, it says, doesn't it? And Levi was because of the daughter of the sister. Well, by the way, be sure to call us. You're there, 856-261-9018, or give us an email, as Brother Rob has done, questions@bftbc.org. Questions@bftbc.org. It's on the screen, you can look at it, and Bill's put that up for us. So, then shall we know the Lord, how, when, in verse 3.
If
we follow on to know the Lord. Can you know him if you don't follow him?
Mm-hmm.
What does John 10:27 say? Let's say that, we know that one from memory. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. What's next? They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is greater than I, is able. Greater than I, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I, my Father, are one. So this, if they follow me, that's a very interesting thing. And also in John 8:12, we memorize that as well. Let's say that I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So the following. See, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If they don't follow me, wonder I'm the sheep, you see. And I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So, the following, very important. What did the Lord Jesus say to the two fishermen? John and, I guess, Andrew. And what about Matthew?
Follow me.
Follow me, and I will make you what?
Fishers of men.
What did Peter do as soon as the resurrection took place? Went fishing again. He went back. Did he take anybody with him, or just on his own? There were probably 5 altogether, I remember. There was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and Peter, several of their names in John chapter 20. So, but the following, we shall know if we follow on to know the Lord. And the more we follow the Lord, the more we'll know him. See, that's it. The closer we walk, the more we'll know him. Going forth prepares the morning. Then the His coming unto us is like what? What is the figure of speech in verse 3?
As the rain.
As the rain. Former lot. They had a former lot of rain in the book of in the Genesis, or rather in the Israel as a nation. How would that simile be understood? It shall come as rain. Is that welcome or unwelcome?
Well, rain is just welcome.
Is it welcome, Adam?
That's good.
What is
it?
Got that?
Oh, I'll probably.
No, bullshit.
I mean, it has to come at the right time.
Yes.
I mean, you don't want to have, you want to rain at the, when you plant, when you harvest, you don't want necessarily a lot of rain.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's former rain, latter rain, but before it rains, the rain's important any time, I suppose. But at least in today's concept of farming, if it gets too wet, fields are too wet, then it's difficult to get the crops out of the field. And if it rains too much at a certain time, then the seed gets washed away.
Mm-hmm.
The crops can get destroyed if it's not the right balance of rain.
But in a thirsty land, is rain welcome or non-welcome?
Rough, always rough.
It's not 24 inches.
Well, it's not 24 inches. It's a flood, see. In those days, there was a lot of rain. I think it was 5 months, 150 days, as I recall, of rain upon the earth. And the mountains were covered up almost to the top. So, but rain, generally, people many times, do they like rain in this neighborhood or this country when it rains? What does the newsman say?
Oh, they don't like any kind of bad weather. I think they can say rain, bad weather, snow, bad weather, still hot, too cold.
Yes,
okay. It says that as the word that goeth forth out of my mouth, that's the, or rather, it's comparing to rain and snow in Isaiah 55.
That's right.
And so that's a blessing.
It's a blessing. It waters the earth and bringeth forth the blood. So shall my word be. Yes, Anna?
And the showers of blessing, it talks about so.
Yes, there should be showers of blessing. That's right. And do we have any wetlands in the United States, in New Jersey? What are wetlands?
Swamps.
Swamps, okay. Are they good or bad or helpful or healthy?
We have some wetlands, don't we?
We do have some wetlands, small amounts of it,
yeah.
Patches here.
Yeah, in New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
And can you build on wetlands? Yeah. Or there's against them building? Yes, Anna?
We can raise cranberries and in some places rice.
In New Jersey, so what producer of cranberries?
Some largest in the country.
The largest in the country?
Third largest.
Third largest, okay.
I would like to see
in the bogs, right?
Sometime.
So what is a bog?
There's a lot in Wisconsin, too.
A lot of cranberries?
My parents went to see them.
Oh, really?
Oh, there's some in Massachusetts.
So what is a bog? They always talk about the cranberry bogs.
When they were here, they went to see them?
No, in Wisconsin.
It's a control area where they can grow the cranberries.
All right, control area, that's called a bog. All right, so it's an old word, yes, Anna?
But also, sometimes swamps attract mosquitoes that can carry
diseases. Diseases, all kinds of diseases, diphtheria, different things. Small fox.
Yes,
Anna? What's that? Is that name?
I mean, swamps.
You got something to say?
Yeah, I do.
From which?
From Gadsden, Gadsden, Illinois.
Oh, Charles.
That's right, Joseph. Be considered to be a prophet. Exodus 13:19. Can you explain why God nearly killed Moses in Exodus 4:24? The first passage is Exodus 13:19.
Was Joseph a prophet?
Joseph considered a prophet?
Oh.
Next question. Well, we'll get the next question when we answer.
13?
Exodus 13:19.
Okay, let's see what that says there. Well, Joseph certainly knew how to interpret dreams, didn't he? And he certainly told the butler what's going to happen, it happened. The baker what's going to happen, it happened. And Pharaoh's dream, he said, it's not in me, but it's the Lord's giving. 14, is it the name, or 13?
Exodus
13:19. All right, thank you, Charles. Questions at bftbc.org, ORG. 13:14. What does it say? Read it.
13:19.
All right, read it for me.
And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you.
He certainly made a prophetic statement there, Charles, that's for sure. He knew what was going to happen. Did the Israelites take Joseph's bones?
Yes, they did.
They didn't. So that was so that's the first question. I think in that case there was a prophet. What's that?
And the Lord visited them.
The Lord visited them, that's right. The Lord just recorded this prophecy. What's the second part of that?
About Exodus 4:24. Uh-huh. Exodus 4:24, the question is, can you explain why God nearly killed Moses?
All right, that's Exodus 4:24. Because apparently he was not himself circumcised, and certainly his children, his sons were not, during that whole land in Egypt. And so, what was this circumcision assigned to? To whom was this assigned?
That was the Abrahamic covenant.
Abrahamic and the whole the nation of Israel.
Son of promise.
So it was signed, sign of the promise. And who had to be circumcised?
All Jews.
All the Jews, and who else?
Those
were brought into the circumcision. That's right, those were brought in. Yes, Anne? Anybody who was brought in or brought anybody who was brought as a servant, anybody came into the camp of Israel as a servant. That's right. All the males, So all the servants, yes. Anna? I mean, Danny, you have
a question?
Yeah,
what question?
So that's the question. Yeah, I'm finished with that.
Next question, Western Pennsylvania. says, like,
what's the best? Oh, let's see, that would be
comments about doctors.
That's true.
In reference to Hosea 6:1, reminded me of how the great physician performs spiritual surgery on his people.
Yes, spiritual surgery on his people, doctors. Well, truly hope you've been surgically helped by the Lord and raised up, and all the other ones that we pray for. I thank you for that. It's good. Questions at bftbc.org. Just keep them coming, and or call us. Had a new lady that called. Her name was Rosie, and I encourage her to call. She's just a new Christian, just 2 years old in the Lord, and we had a telephone call with her. She had some questions about the Bible. Someone said to her friend, in, I think it was in Canada or in overseas somewhere.
Oh, England.
Oh, England. Okay, same. Okay, said a Bible. One of her defined things in the Bible to this lady. Someone did. And the husband wouldn't let her keep it. So sent it to Rosie. See? Rosie Lloyd was her name. And so she's got it. She saw in our Bible our phone number. She called up. And we talked about it. And she's a new Christian. She wants to know the things of the Lord. So I encouraged her to listen to our Bible study Thursday night. And encourage her to listen. If she's listening now, if you are, Rosie, give us an email. You can do that or call 856-261-9018. And she said she couldn't do much on the Sunday, except in a yellow box, because her husband's unsaved, and he doesn't like that. But I said, you listen anytime when he's not around. And the yellow box, you can hear our services. Dan puts them up. By the way, I've got them all. Yes, what else, Dan? Honey, did you ask something?
I thought you said that somebody from England sent Rose
yes,
the Bible.
That's what I mean, yes.
Well, you just said somebody sent someone else the Bible and he couldn't keep it and they gave it to Rose.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Someone sent a Bible to England.
Oh.
And the mother, the woman wanted the Bible, but the husband wouldn't let her keep it, so
why
she sent it to Rosie.
Defined Bible?
Defined things in the Bible.
I mean, that what he didn't like about it?
Well, he didn't like the Bible of any kind, I guess.
Oh.
Didn't want his wife to have the Bible, so she had to send it to her friend. So, be that as it may, any other comments on this particular verse? The rain. Do people normally complain of when it rains? Or do they say, wonderful?
It depends who it is.
They look at it as
a convenience. Yeah. A lot of people. Take the weatherman. What does the weatherman say about rain?
I don't know.
He's down
in the
mouth
about
the rain.
Yes, he is.
During the traffic jam.
Traffic jam, sort of hydrant, you know, you're all complaining about the rain. See? But here, God says, I will come unto us as the rain. See? Refreshing as the rain. See, there's a refreshment about it. Mm-hmm. Yes, Bob?
My mother loved the rain. And she always says, oh, I love it when it rains, because my dad couldn't work then. He had to stay home because he was a door-to-door salesman.
Right.
In the early days.
So she's bad at rain.
She was really bad. Of course, if it rained too much, it wouldn't have any food.
That's true.
She loved it when it rained because daddy would be home.
There's an interesting, humorous saying of a woman who's not too pretty saying, the rain makes the flowers so beautiful. Please, Lord, let it rain on me. Remember, I don't know, some little statement I've heard about that. If it makes the flowers so beautiful and she doesn't look too beautiful, let it rain on me. So, but like the rain, the Lord's going to deal with it as the rain, the latter and the former rain. All right, verse 3, 4, 5, and 6, and then we'll almost be right in the course. Oh, Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? Oh, Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I shewed them by the prophets, have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the life that goeth forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than the burnt offerings. Right, verse 4. What does God ask about Ephraim?
Does he ask, what shall I do?
What shall I do with it? What do you think that's meaning? What is the Lord thinking about when he's asking, what shall I do with it?
Well, he's shaking his head, saying,
yeah.
"What am I going to do?"
Yeah, because they're neither hot nor cold, maybe. Maybe they're walking his way, and it's a rhetorical question. What did he say to Judah?
The same thing.
Same thing. What shall I do unto thee? Now it defines their goodness as what? What's the simile? As a morning cloud. What is there about a morning cloud? When it's not morning, where's the cloud?
In the afternoon.
In the afternoon. So. And then the next thing, as the early dew, it goeth away. So is it temporary? Should our goodness be temporary? Who can give us goodness?
The Lord.
The Lord himself. How many natures do we have if we're saved?
Two.
Two. What are they?
Natural.
Natural or the flesh and the spirit, the Holy Spirit. So Can our goodness be fleshly?
Yes.
Is, should that be fleshly? Is there any goodness in it?
No.
What did Paul say in Romans 7:14?
There's no good thing.
I know me, and in myself there's no good thing. Draweth no good thing.
For the good
so,
that I would.
What is that?
For the good that I would, I keep.
And
the evil that I would not,
that I do. And Romans chapter 7. There's a battle between the old nature and the nature, the flesh and the spirit. So, by goodness, just like a morning cloud, it just not, doesn't stay. Does God want our goodness to stay?
Yes.
Yes, He does. He wants to stay and persevere. Well, let's pause right here. Let's go to number 5. This is a figure of speech that I have hewed them by the prophets, slain them by the words of my mouth. What? How do I understand what God is saying here? In what sense is He hewed them?
Cut them down.
Cut them down. What sense is He slain them?
By His mouth.
Is that literal or figure?
Sword.
Figure. Sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus, when He comes back at the end of the tribulation period, Battle of Armageddon, what is in His mouth?
The sword.
The sword. Going forth a sharp sword as He comes on a white horse, and many horses after the believers are with Him in this battle. A sharp sword goes out of His mouth. So it's something that cuts. In Hebrews 4:12, the word is quick and powerful and what? Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing. Even the dividing of thunder of soul and spirit, and that is a discern of the joints and intents of the heart. So that's Hebrews 4:12, isn't it? Intents, thoughts and intents of the heart. Thoughts and intents of the heart. So it's like a sword. So God's words should cut us when they need to be cut. That's what He's saying. It should try us. People sometimes go out of a sermon of some of these hard, strong preachers, and they say about some of that preacher stepped on my toes. Well, you could say, oh, the Spirit, the Word of God cut through me. Well, if we need to be cut by the Word of God, if it's sin, let's cut it off. Let the Word of God be sharpened and remove it. I think that's a case in which we're talking about the words of the dead.
As long as the Word of God is the Word of man.
As long as the Word of God, that's right, the Word of God. Yes, Dan?
There's some pastors that like to offend purposely. It seems as though when they start yelling at their congregation and telling them what to do, mm-hmm. Versus letting the Word of God be the one that convicts the soul.
Yes. But the Word of God, the Word of God as a sword. All right, any other comments or questions? Either chapter 5 or chapter 6, or the 4 tonight. All right, we'll stop right here in verse 5. So let's close in a word with a word of prayer. We have to thank Thee, our Heavenly Father, that Thou hast given us these words. We're sorry that Ephraim and Judah, the northern and the southern kingdoms, have not pleased Thee. And know many times we do not please Thee as well. We ask Thee, Lord, to guide us and direct us. And as David said, that may the meditation of our heart be acceptable in Thy sight, and the words of our mouths, that we may use Thy word, sharpen our wits, sharpen our minds, and may Thy word cut us if we need to be cut, and take away the dross. Thank Thee that Thou art as the rain that can nourish us and help us in all that we do. So we ask Thee for Thy guidance upon us, bring us safely on the Lord's Day. Be with Brother Jason Stevens, our missionary speaker this Sunday, that our Savior may be glorified and that He may be encouraged to come to visit us here. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.
Can I please come, please?
Yeah.